You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, the glorious beauty of this day just astounded us as we were coming to worship, and now we are called upon to perceive your beauty through the Holy Scriptures, which gave birth to all that and so much more. Lord, as we reflect upon what we have received this day, bring us to a true understanding of it, that we may be built up for your love and service. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So driving across the valley, have you seen all these new billboards, the dad joke billboards? Have you seen these? I love these. I guess it's what they're doing now when they can't sell the advertising space. They just throw something up there. They're jokes like, what did the house wear to the prom? Address. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw the face, yeah. My dad used to do jokes like that a lot. And so he really seemed to delight in saying something to us and watching our face go from quizzical to like, oh, that was so bad. I'll never forget, one time we were playing football, I think, out in the yard. A whole bunch of us were playing. My dad was playing on one of the teams, all the neighborhood kids. And he takes a coin, whoops, like, no, look at this. He takes the coin and flips it and goes, okay, heads I win, tails you lose. And I did what a lot of you just went. I went, heads I win, tails you lose. Yeah. Yeah, a dad joke, first and foremost. God has a little bit of that kind of jokester edge to him as well. The very first systematic theologian in church history, Irenaeus, pictured God as a cosmic joker, and I'll explain in what way he meant later on. But one of the things that God does, and we see this throughout the scriptures, is turn the energy and efforts of his opponents against them. And a kind of jujitsu move where you're using a person's own energy against them. Those who are opposed to God end up serving his purposes, albeit unwillingly. We see this in the character of Cyrus in the Old Testament. When you just heard our passage from the prophet Isaiah, Cyrus is the Persian emperor who will send the Israelites who've been trapped and basically held prisoner in Babylon home to rebuild the temple. Now, this is not because Cyrus is a nice guy and likes Jews or worships the God of Israel. In fact, if you're paying attention to the passage, God says, Cyrus is my servant, though he knows me not. In fact, Cyrus is the only non-Jew in the whole of Scriptures to get the title anointed, which is translated as Christ. He's God's anointed because he will be the instrument whereby God delivers his people, even though he doesn't care about Jews. He just cares about expanding his empire. God does this again and again throughout Scripture. It's almost like you can picture, have you ever played chess against somebody who's really good? I mean, really good. Like, my son's good. I haven't beat him since he was 10. But he's good, but I'm talking about really good. You play against one of these people, and you know they're only half paying attention to the game, and they're doing their email on their phone while you're playing against them, and you're putting all your brain power into it, and you're like, oh, this will be the trap. And somehow they're like, oh no, that was my trap for you. Okay, I'll take that character. I'll take that piece right off the board. This is kind of the way God does it. And we see it again in the New Testament here. One of the proofs that Jesus truly is the God of Israel, Yahweh of the Old Testament in the flesh, is that he kind of keeps the family style of doing things. I heard a preacher one time, and I tried to track down the reference, but I couldn't find it in preparation for this sermon. A very famous literary convert of the last century, just before World War II, was traveling by train across Europe. And he was a man of Jewish background, so he knew the Old Testament scriptures really well. But he was sort of reckoning with this Jesus character. And he was reading the very passage we just heard from the Gospels, where Jesus is being, the attempt by the Pharisees, I love this translation, they attempted to entangle him in his own words. So here's the trap that the Pharisees are laying out for Jesus. See, they want him gone. He's a problem. He's not only perhaps endangering the nation, he's cutting in on their territory, and they don't like it. He's horning in on their authority. So here's the trap they've laid out. When they know, they're afraid of Jesus because the crowds love Jesus. Crowds like Jesus better than they like them. So, but here's what the crowds hate. They love Jesus, but they hate taxes. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years, folks. They hate taxes. They especially hate paying taxes to the Romans who've come and conquered their territory and to keep them oppressed, and they don't even have the rights of citizens. We live in a country that was in part birthed through no taxation without representation. We know their feeling. So they say, hey, you know what? We're going to ask Jesus if we're allowed to pay taxes to Caesar, because here's the deal. If he says yes, then the crowds don't like him anymore, and we're like, we win. If Jesus says no, then the Romans come and collect him and cart him off to jail, and we win. This is the trap they've laid. Now, as this writer was traveling on his way, he came across this and he said, they've got him. And right as that happened, right before he got to the end of the story, they pulled into the station and the whistle blew and it's time to get off the train. And he's like, he's never going to get out of this. He's never going to get out of this. It's amazing. They got him. It's all over. And he got to the hotel room and he opens up and sees Jesus' answer. And Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. And he went, that's God. That's God right there. Because he understood what Jesus was doing. Just like our money, this quarter has George Washington's face on it. A denarius had a face on it too. That of Caesar. And it didn't say in God we trust, like our money says. It said, Caesar Augustus, son of God. This was an image of God that they were to pay the taxes with. Now, Jesus, reflecting this back to them, said, what is in God's image? Clearly, this coin must belong to Caesar because it's got his image in it. What in your possession is in God's image? And those Pharisees, being good Jews, should have immediately gone to Genesis 1 and said, oh, in the image of God, he made them male and female, he made them. I mean, we're to give our whole selves to God? Yes. See, men, we're painfully aware of this, aren't we? Because we, at one point in our lives, we all had to sign up for selective service. Caesar can take your body. He can take your money. He can't touch your soul. And if you give your soul to God, that is all you can be required of you. Jesus, in that same kind of jujitsu move, like he's not even paying attention to the chessboard. Checkmate. And they walk away. They don't bother with him anymore, because apparently we can't set traps real well for this guy. Now, this brings up for us the issue of what do we mean by faith? We're in the month of the Reformation. We say, quoting Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we are saved by grace through faith. Well, grace is obvious. That's a gift. But what is faith? We mean much more than believing that God exists. Okay, as James 2, 19 says, even the demons believe and they tremble because of it. The faith that saves is not believing God exists. Like, he's flattered by your concession that he exists. It means trusting God, giving to him that which is made in his image, namely your whole self. Trusting the good news of what he has done in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the one we were taught to call our Father in heaven, we're going to see a little video here, and she's going to talk about the gift that repentance has been for her. Repentance is kind of flips the script. Instead of God saying, like my dad did, ha, heads I win, tails you lose, which is what God says to his enemies, God instead says to us, okay, heads you win, tails I lose. Because he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, as it says in the book of Philippians, but rather emptied himself and took the form of a servant. Luther calls this the great exchange. It's our sin for his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. What is a joke to God in fighting his enemies becomes the gift to us of grace. Of this thing we call salvation, which is restored relationship, right relationship with the God of the universe. Apparently, God's into dad jokes. As Irenaeus said, he pictured the cross as a giant fish hook. And God, knowing that Satan desperately wanted his throne, couldn't resist when he saw God in the flesh on that cross. And so, like a giant whale, he snapped him up, and only to have to belch him out 3 days later. And in snatching Jesus up, gave Jesus the power to empty hell when he descended to the dead, to carry off the righteous who would trust him for the journey. And so it is with us. We trust that this God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ can flip the script, that we can be saved not by our works that make us righteous, but by his works for which we've exchanged our sin. God wants to give us that great gift, and that is the trust that we call faith, the trust that saves, the trust that shapes our whole lives as we begin to give to him every bit of who we are in exchange for all of what he is in Jesus Christ. Would you join me for a word of prayer? God, we are not holy in ourselves. We don't really, really desire what we know would be best for us. We just want what we want in the moment. But your son gave up all that he would want, prayed in the garden and said, thy will be done, exchanging his power for the shame of the cross, that he might open the way of salvation to us. Lord, help us to trust him, to know that there is no point in opposing you, for if we oppose you, it only redounds to our own difficulty and perhaps damnation. But rather help us to trust you, that you might use us to bring your blessing to others, that we might receive your blessing through the very faith you engender. We ask it, Lord, in the precious name of him who gave up all for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Be thou my best art in the day and the night. We keep or sleeping, thy presence, my light.